several verses here, the beginning part of this letter. And it is a letter that is written for a hope and strength in the times of trials that Christians go through. It is a letter that really emphasizes our hope that we have and how that is important in our being able to be strong and steadfast and remain faithful. So beginning with 1 Peter 1 and verse 1, he said, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." Being able to know that we have a hope that is laid up for us, that is secure, means everything in our continuing to remain faithful to God. We live today in a society that, for the most part, we have known very little, if any, of true persecution. That could change, and 1 Peter is saying pretty clearly to us that we should expect that there will be persecution and suffering in the Christian life. We ought to think about it more then and ask ourselves, what would heaven mean to us if we were being persecuted? Like we know the Christians of the first century, some of them even died for Christ. Well, I believe that heaven would become more and more vivid in our thinking, and it would be a part of our life every day as we would think about that home that is laid up for us in heaven. You know, we sing a song sometimes that I think is based, the author must have had this passage in mind when he wrote the song, "Sing On, You Joyful Pilgrims." It says, "Sing on, ye joyful pilgrims, while here on earth we stay. Let songs of home and Jesus beguile each fleeting day." Well, that is what Peter is referring to, that we should be singing songs of home and Jesus as we are pilgrims here in this life. We have a home laid up for us in heaven that gives us confidence and something to look forward to when this life is over. A reason to remain faithful at any cost to Jesus Christ, because this home is worth more than anything that this life can give us. So beginning in verse 3, he begins to speak of this hope, but before doing that, he gives praise to God. Suffering is going to be a major concern that he is writing about, but we notice that he begins by giving the praise to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter was writing to suffering Christians. They were already suffering some persecution when he wrote this letter. And Peter's message was, it was going to get worse, not better. But he gives the praise to God for our salvation. That means everything. That Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, secured for us the living hope that we have. Jesus being crucified, put in the grave, but then when he rose from the dead, that promises you that when we die, we will rise from the dead. And so he refers to this as we have been begotten again according to his abundant mercy through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to a living hope. All of these things that Jesus did for us then establishes that we will have a resurrection and we will have a home laid up for us in heaven. We have our salvation to be thankful for, that we have been born again. We have been baptized into Christ and we've been given a new life, a new relationship. We are children of God in this life that we have because of Jesus Christ. But the wonderful thing about it is that we have something coming in the future to look forward to. We have an inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven. And he wants us to think about this inheritance, that it is unlike other things. So to describe it, he uses negative things that could take it away, and pointing out that it is incorruptible, it is undefiled, and that it does not fade away. All of the things that we have in life do this. They are corruptible. They do fade away. And we know that they won't last forever. Here we have something in the life that is prepared for us ahead that will not be taken away, ever. And God has reserved it in heaven for us. Now, sometimes we might make a reservation and we would get to the place and they would say, well, I'm sorry, but we don't have any record of that reservation. It does happen. But with God, we can be sure that it won't. It is reserved in heaven for you by the power of God. And as he speaks about this, he is reminding us that it's an inheritance because we are children of God. We share in the inheritance as his children. And that means that we have something that God is going to give us, and he is giving it to us as our eternal inheritance. It is reserved for us in heaven. When we become children, we become like God. We call him our Father, and we look upon him that way. So he gives thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, that we have this inheritance. And he says in verse 5 that it is reserved in heaven for us, and that we are guarded and kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God then, on his part, reserves this for us, and it cannot be taken away. On our part, we have faith in God, and that faith also protects us. We are guarded by two things, really. We are guarded by God, who keeps us for this salvation, and on our part, it's by our faith. We have our part in this. And when we became a Christian, we expressed our faith in Jesus and we repented and we were baptized when we heard the gospel. He speaks about the gospel down here in verse 12. These things that have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. So these Christians heard the gospel and they believed the gospel, just like you and I have. When that happened, we were born again spiritually into the family of God. And the result of that, we have an inheritance that is laid up for us. And our faith guards us and preserves, and God is guarding and preserving that for us. So it is very secure. And the only thing that could cause that not to be for you and I is if we were to lose our faith and deny Jesus in terms of trials and temptations. If our faith grows weak and we fail in that, then God has given that salvation to us and he protects it, but we did not have the faith that we needed to have. So there is an encouragement being given to us to remain faithful. And because of that hope, to know that it is there and is being protected for us, and it's reserved for each one of us. So remain faithful. That is his encouragement to us. Beginning with verse 6, he goes on then to speak about the present trials that we are going to go through. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There's two things that he points out here. One is that right now in this life it is needful that we face trials. Why does God allow us to face trials? Because it is good for us, and it is a way of testing and strengthening our faith. So therefore God allows us to go through trials. And there can be trials in the form of illnesses. There can be trials in the form of temptations. There can be family problems that can cause trials for us to go through. Various trials. That's what he says. Manifold trials. There's different types of them. Various trials. But that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whenever our faith goes through the trials, it is like the ore going through the fire that is refining the fire, refining the gold ore to purify it. And it only goes into the fire for a short time. Keep that in mind, that at the refiner's fire, the goal is to purify it and to put it in the fire for a short time and then take it out, not to leave it in the fire. It's valuable. The gold is not going to be perished and lost, but it goes into the fire to heat it up to a certain temperature. And the temperature is 1900 degrees Fahrenheit. When gold ore hits 1900 degrees, it glows bright orange. And the refiners say that when you can see your face in it, then that's what you're looking for. So it goes into the very hot furnace just long enough to be purified, then they take it out. That's what God does with us. He puts us into the furnace. He puts us in, allows us to go into the trials just long enough that you'll come out better as a result of it. Think about that when we are facing trials, that God is allowing it. And as He says here, we love Him for this. We love Him because of the salvation He has given us, but we also love Him because He allows us to go through trials to make us better people. I know this doesn't seem, it seems illogical. It seems strange for us to hear that, but that is what He is saying. That the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ comes again, then our salvation will be realized. The ultimate final salvation. See, we have been saved and we've been born again, but the final salvation comes when Jesus Christ comes again. Now, concerning this salvation, he says in verses 10 through 12 that this salvation was planned by God from long ago. In fact, from eternity, God began preparing that salvation for us. He had a plan in mind for his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins that was from before eternity. So he says here in verse 10, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Back in the Old Testament, God, through the prophets, revealed the coming of Jesus. And in the prophecies that were given, it was made clear that Jesus was going to suffer and die for our sins. It was revealed by inspiration to the prophets, and yet the prophets didn't understand it. Even the angels were curious about how this was going to actually happen. But when Jesus came into the world and he died in fulfillment of that scripture and those promises that had been made, it confirmed and ratified the verification and the truthfulness of God's word. That God, when he sends the Holy Spirit to guide the prophets into their writing of God's plan for us, for our salvation, even they did not understand it fully. And yet it was true. And it came to pass, as God said. Now we have the gospel that has been preached to us by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. As it was on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and they preached the gospel. And they told them that by Jesus Christ, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. When we realize that God has had this plan in place from eternity, and that even though it was so deep and so unfathomable that even the prophets and the angels didn't understand what God was doing, and yet we now are in a position to see the whole picture. We can see how it all fit together. And if anyone should have confidence in the truth of the promise of heaven, it should be us, because we live now at the back end of everything that has happened and been fulfilled, and Jesus has raised from the dead. We should be able to have full, absolute confidence. Now, we may not understand everything in the Bible, and we don't, but we can understand that God, from the beginning, planned our salvation, and He revealed it down through the prophets of the Old Testament. And when the fullness of time had come, Jesus Christ came, and He died on the cross, exactly as it was said. And He rose from the dead on the third day and ascended into heaven. And then He tells us He's coming again. Now, He hasn't come back yet, and we don't see Him yet, but we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So even the life that we are now living as Christians is full of joy, and we can enjoy the Christian life, we can enjoy the life that we have, even if there are trials, we can rejoice in this life, because we know the certainty of the promise that God has in mind for us. So this hope is a beautiful promise that we have, and that can cause us to be strong and faithful when we even face the worst trials that life may bring to us. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, we hope that you'll respond to the gospel invitation this evening. Come forward, confess your faith in Jesus. Repent of your sins, be baptized into Jesus Christ tonight. And you can go on your way rejoicing, knowing that God has forgiven your sins. And you have a promise of this home in heaven. So if you're here tonight, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.